ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಹಿ ಓಂ. ಪೂರ್ಣಮದಃ ಪೂರ್ಣಮಿದಂ ಪೂರ್ಣಾತ್ ಪೂರ್ಣಮುದಚ್ಯತೆ ಪೂರ್ಣಸ್ಯ ಪೂರ್ಣಮಾದಾಯ ಪೂರ್ಣಮೇವಾವಶಿಷ್ಯತೆ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಹಿ ಓಂ. ಆಸ್ ವಾಸ್ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ವೆಬಿನಾರ್, ಐ ಥಾಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ಅನದರ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ವರ್ಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಆದಿಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ. This is called Sadhana Panchakam. This is also called Upatesha Panchakam or Sopana Panchakam also, or Advaita Panchakam. There are so many words, so many names for this particular text. And we will see this text. This is going to be only 5 shlokas. It is going to be a matter of maybe 4-5 webinars only. And after that, we are going to be starting another large text, another primer to Vedanta, namely Viveka Chudamani. So with that, let us just get into this topic of Sadhana Panchakam, this work of Adi Shankaracharya. And as I told, there are so many names for this particular text. And in all of those words, the term Panchakam is common, which means a text of 5 shlokas. It is called Advaita Panchakam, because these shlokas, they deal with the Advaitic teaching contained in the Vedas. It is also known as Upadesha Panchakam. The word Upadesha would mean teaching or instruction. That means 5 shlokas dealing with the instruction to a seeker. It is also known as Sopana Panchakam, because the teachings are given in a graded manner. Like, you know, the flight of stairs, going upstairs. You got a flight of stairs, step by step. So the step by step, that is called Sopanam. So like a flight of steps, instruction are given so that one can gradually follow them step by step and reach the ultimate goal. It is also known as Sadhana Panchakam, because the 5 shlokas deal with a series of sadhanas or disciplines to be followed by every human being. So sadhanam, that literally means a means to attain an end. And the end or goal to be accomplished, that is called sadhyam. So a sadhanam means it's a means, a way, and sadhyam means the end. And the person who uses the sadhanam to reach a sadhyam, that person is called a sadhakaha. I'm just giving some terms only. So sadhaka uses sadhanam to accomplish sadhyam. And once the sadhaka accomplishes the sadhyam, he is no more a sadhaka, because he does not require any more sadhanam, and so he is called a siddhaha. So sadhaka, using sadhanam, accomplishes the sadhyam and becomes a siddha or a siddha purushaha. And in this work, a series of sadhanas are prescribed, keeping particularly 2 goals in mind. That is sadhakaha, sadhanena, sadhyam prapya, siddhaha bhavati. He becomes a siddhaha. Now, when we talk about the series of sadhanas, the 2 goals are, the first goal is discovering what is the human goal. That itself is the first goal. What is the goal of human life? We all have got the rarest janma, called the human janma, and what is the purpose and goal of this life? Because that itself is not clear to many people. So the first few disciplines, they will refine the mind and help the human being discover what is the goal of one's life. It will give a direction. And this is the first stage. Like, for example, a doctor diagnosing a disease. So the first goal of doctor is what? Not treatment itself. He is to find out what the disease is. And then he will continue with the treatment. Similarly, the first goal of a human being is to discover what is the goal of human life. And once a person discovers the goal, the second goal, the most important goal, is the accomplishment of that goal. So there are two stages: discovery of the goal, that is the first stage, and accomplishment of the goal, that is the second stage. So keeping this in view, Shankaracharya is presenting a series of disciplines. A scheme of life is well presented here. And this scheme of life is not the invention of Shankaracharya. He never claims that it is his invention or his scheme. He does not claim any originality at all for that. But the scheme is presented by Shankaracharya here is the original theme given in the Vedas. And the scriptural scheme of life is presented by Shankaracharya in 5 compact and beautiful shlokas. That is what we are going to see in this text. And before going to each shloka separately, we need to understand a few details. Then only the background for understanding the shlokas would be clear. So we will discuss independently the scheme as described by the Vedas. What is the Vedic scheme? What is the Vedic plan? What is the grand design given in the Vedas? This design is known as Varna Ashrama Vyavastha. Varna Ashrama Vyavastha, the scheme of Varnas and the scheme of Ashrama. It is a combination of two plans, two designs, the Varna design and the Ashrama design. So Varna Vyavastha and the Ashrama Vyavastha. Varna Vyavastha means dividing a society into four groups known as four Varnas: Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. And this classification is primarily based on the vocation or the role to be played in a society, the contribution towards the society. Keeping the type of profession, vocation or contribution in mind, the fourfold Varnas were designed in the scriptures. There is an enormous outline for this, which alone later got the notorious name of caste system, and which system has almost become defunct today, no more followed by anyone almost. And the aim of the scriptures in prescribing this Varna Dharma or Varna system is social harmony and social growth. So keeping these two things in mind, the scriptures prescribed the Varna Vyavastha, about which we have no scope to discuss in this particular series of lectures, so we will adjourn that. And the second scheme or design is known as the Ashrama Vyavastha, and there are four stages in anybody's life, and this Ashrama design is presented keeping the individual harmony and growth. The Varna Vyavastha concentrates on social harmony and growth, and the Ashrama Vyavastha prescribed here that keeps the individual's harmony and growth. And in this work, Shankaracharya is primarily concerned about the Ashrama Vyavastha because he is dealing with an individual as a seeker with a purpose in life. So these four ashramas, they are popularly known as the Brahmacharya Ashrama, the student stage of life, and the Grahastha Ashrama, householder stage of life, and Vanaprastha Ashrama, hermit stage of life or recluse stage of life, and finally the Sannyasa Ashrama, a stage of life like a monk. And this Ashrama Vyavastha also, even though they have not become notorious like the Varna Vyavastha, this scheme also is almost gone. It has only a skeletal existence today, which we will understand as we see the scheme as presented by Shankaracharya. But even though this Ashrama Vyavastha is not physically followed by people, but still internally or mentally, every human being will have to go through these four steps if he has to discover the fulfillment of life. So first we will see Vedas, and later we will see how we can adapt to the present society, because many of them are not followed and are not followable also. And for all the human beings, irrespective of Varna or Ashrama, the scriptures prescribe certain common disciplines. We can call them as universal disciplines, compulsory universal disciplines irrespective of varna or ashrama or religion or nationality, etc. And these common universal disciplines, we call them as samanya dharma. They are called, common disciplines are called samanya dharma, general disciplines or general duties. And these general disciplines, they can be again broadly classified into two. The first consisting of the don'ts, what one should not do, the avoidance. And the second consisting of the do's, what one should do, the discipline, do's discipline. So the do's and the don'ts, to be done and not to be done. And each one consists of five. So there are five do's and five don'ts. The don'ts disciplines are called yamaha or nivritti rupaha. Nivritti means to be avoided. And similarly, there are five do's disciplines which have to be positively adhered to. They are called niyamas or pravritti rupaha. So now let us find out what are these two sets of five. First, let us take the five yamas, which we have seen actually in the sixth chapter in Gita. Those who attend the Gita lectures, you had the opportunity to listen to them. In the Gita sixth chapter introduction, we outlined that. Now, just only to remind us, these five are ahimsa, asteyam, brahmacharyam, and satyam, and aparigraha. Now, let us look at each one of them individually. Ahimsa. Ahimsa means non-violence, that we know commonly, avoidance of harm to others by thought, word or deed, in manasa, vacha, karmana, of all the three. One is not doing anything positive here. What one does, only avoids harming others. And then satyam. Satyam here means do not speak untruth. Otherwise, if you have to speak untruth, you keep maunam. Don't speak untruth at all. If someone is poor or handicapped, in the name of truth, one need not call him a deaf person or anything, because scriptures say satyam vada. So I have to tell satyam. So either I speak truth or I observe silence, but I do not speak untruth. So here satyam is avoidance of asatyam. And then asteyam. Asteyam means do not possess the wealth which is illegitimate. This is also in the form of avoidance only. And the next one is brahmacharyam. Brahmacharyam is the avoidance of illegitimate relationship. It is not just a bachelorhood. Illegitimate relationship with the opposite sex. And aparigraha, avoidance of possession of too much wealth, even though it is legal. Which is too much is, what is too much is different, because for different people, different, too much is, you know, we are not dealing with that kind of a thing, because one might say, if I have 5 million, that is enough. Another might say, if I have 10 million, that is enough. We are not talking about that. What we say is hoarding or over possession of even legitimate wealth is improper according to the scriptures. So these are the five avoidances or yamaha. And the five niyamas, positive disciplines to be followed, are saucham, santoshaha, tapas, swadhyayaha, and Ishwara pranidhanam. And let us see what each one of them is. Saucham means purity, positively working for physical and mental purity. And then santoshaha, positively developing a sense of contentment. In Bhajagovindam, Shankaracharya says beautifully, Mooda jagihim dhanagama trishnam, kuru sadbuddhi manasi vitrishnam, yellabase nija karmopatam vittam tena vinodaya chittam. O fool, O mudaha, leave off this desire to accumulate wealth. Create in the mind thoughts about the reality, devoid of passion. Satisfy your mind with what you have. Acharya very clearly says. So develop a sense of contentment, because any amount you get is only limited. And the third one is tapas. Tapas means willful denial to avoid slavery to our organs, that is becoming a slave to our eyes, ears, tongue, legs. So to avoid slavery to these organs, I say no to them to make sure I am in charge of them and they are not in charge of me. And the next one is swadhyayaha. Swadhyayaha means the study of scriptures, especially the Parayana scriptures. Knowing the meaning or not, Parayanam is considered to be a positive thing. And finally, Ishvara Pranidhanam, worship of the Lord. So these are the five pravrittis or do's, otherwise known as niyamas. So these are the 10 samanya dharmas, universal disciplines, irrespective of the varna or ashrama or religion, anybody has to follow. Any human being has to follow this. And then comes the vishesha dharma or specific dharmas, which are not universal, but which are to be followed by segments of society. Various groups are supposed to follow them. And these vishesha dharmas are based on varna and ashrama designation of a person. So that is where we are coming to the varna and ashrama discussion for discussing the vishesha dharmas. So they are known as varna dharma, varnashrama dharma, or vishesha dharma, or swadharma, we can call them. And swa means one's own dharma. Based on what? One's own varna and one's own ashrama. That is swadharma. And here Shankaracharya is not going to discuss the samanya dharmas, which we talked about earlier. He takes them for granted that we are all already people who follow those dharmas. He does not know perhaps how we are. He was not living in 21st century. So he is prescribing the vishesha dharmas to be taken care of at the four stages of life, namely the brahmacharya ashrama, grahastha ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama, and sannyasa ashrama. And the contention of the scriptures and the acharya is what? A person who follows the four stages of ashrama is growing, discovering the goal later, accomplishing the goal. So four stages are going to be talked about in sadhana panchakam. The sadhana panchakam is going to be talk about these four goals. So what are the four stages? They also will set, you know, see briefly before entering into the text. So the first one is the brahmacharya ashrama, a student life in which a person is supposed to study the Vedic scheme of life. Because without knowing the Vedic design, where is the question of implementing anything? Therefore, before implementation, the student studies the Vedas, about 12 years of study in the Gurukula in those days. And so he learns the Vedas first by heart, and then he studies the Mimamsa Shastra, which analyzes the Vedic teaching. So what should a student do and not do? What should a grahastha do and not do? What a vanaprastha should do and not do, and sannyasa. So these do's and don'ts, the vidhi and nisheda, we call it vidhi and nisheda, the injunctions and the prohibitions, these are studied in the brahmacharya ashrama, and only when he studies the scheme of life, he can be called a brahmachari. So a brahmachari means what? A student of Vedas or scriptures. We translate actually brahmachari as a bachelor these days, and whoever is not married, we call him a brahmachari. Even if he is 70 years, 80 years old, we call him brahmachari. He might not even touch the Vedas, still we loosely translate that as brahmachari. But the actual meaning is what? Brahmachari. Brahma means Vedas. And Chari means one who follows a discipline of study. So Veda Adhyayanartham Vratam Charati Iti Brahmachari. That this is the first stage. Being acquainted with the Vedic design or the grand design. Then the second stage is the Grahastha Ashrama, in which one is taken to a life of activity, lot of activity, as prescribed in the particular varna. If he is a Brahmana Grahastha, what are the do's and don'ts? If he is a Kshatriya Grahastha, what are the do's and don'ts? Same way for the other two also. So they have got a life of activity or karma that is called the Karma Yoga. And this is predominantly discussed in the first portion of the Vedas, known as the Karma Kanda portion. I am just only giving lot of factual information only, because unless we understand and refresh ourselves with the factual information, it is difficult to understand the shlokas. So the karma marga or the Karma Yoga portion is predominantly discussed in the Karma Kanda portion. So for a grahastha, a Karma Yoga, Karma Kanda portion is relevant. And when a person follows this disciplined life, a person gets mental purity, which we call it as Chitta Shuddhi or Antakarana Shuddhi, which is freedom from what? From raga and dvesha traps, R&D traps, likes and dislikes. They are likes and dislikes are called shackles, whether for materials or person, whichever it is, they are shackles only. I want this person, but the person whom I don't want, he became my neighbor. So these are all problems. So freedom from likes and dislikes, which expresses in the form of equanimity of mind. What is the indication that there is no R&D? For example, no ragadvesha, samatva or equanimity is also called the chitta shuddhi or ragadvesha nivritti or samatvam. This is the benefit of karma yoga. Then comes the third stage called vanaprastha ashrama, which is extra, where the extrovert physical activities, they are reduced. No more extrovertness. Not totally stopped, because any withdrawal should be only gradual. And mental disciplines are increased in the form of what? Upasanas. So meditation, various types of mental exercises are given in the second portion of the Vedas, known as the Upasana Khanda. So the equation is what? Grahastashrama, Karma Yoga, Karma Khanda, and Vanaprasthashrama, Upasana, and Upasana Khanda. And when a person goes through this discipline, by withdrawal from the activity, he may either go out of the house so that he can reduce the activities, or he may lead a quieter life at home, like a guest in his own house. No more a member of the house, no more a driver. Do not interfere with the affairs of the house. This withdrawn, secluded life committed to upasana will give chitta ekagrata. The other one gave chitta shuddhi. This gives chitta ekagrata, the capacity to focus, converging faculty. So by the time one goes through these two stages, he has got chitta shuddhi and chitta ekagrata. Then comes the final stage, known as the sannyasa ashrama, in which a person is free from all psychological dependencies. He renounces all of them, that I should live in this house alone. I should be fed by my wife alone. Not even the daughter-in-law should feed me. Only my wife should feed me. That I am particular about the presence of a particular place, particular person. All these psychological dependencies, they all should go away. All attachments I renounce. If I physically renounce them, then I become an external sannyasi. If I mentally renounce them, then I become an internal sannyasi. So this is the sannyasa ashrama, a monk's life in which one has to go through the final discipline, which is the primary discipline, known as jnana yoga. So pursuit of spiritual knowledge, which corresponds to the jnana kanda portion of the Vedas. And by following this, a person becomes a jnani, a wise person, or to put it in another language, he becomes a jivan muktaha. One who has discovered the inner freedom, the liberation, moksha. So these four stages alone, Shankaracharya is going to talk about, namely Veda Adhyayanam in Brahmacharya Ashrama, Karma Yoga in Grahastha Ashrama, Upasana in Vanaprastha Ashrama, and Jnana Yoga in Sannyasa Ashrama. And in the first shloka, we get the first two stages, namely the second and third shlokas, we get the third and the fourth stages. So in the first three shlokas, Shankaracharya presents the main broad scheme of life. Then in the fourth and the fifth shlokas, he gives some general instructions to be followed. So this is the design of the Vedas presented by Shankaracharya in Sadhana Panchakam or Upadesha Panchakam or Advaita Panchakam or Sopana Panchangam. All are same. Keeping this background, let us now enter into the text. Sopana Panchakam. Shloka 1. Vedo nityam adiyatam taduditam karma sunushtiyatam teneshasya vidiyatam apachitihi kamye matisthyajyatam papaugha pariduyatam bhavasuke doshonusandiyatam Atme chavyavasiyatam nijagrihat thurnam vinirgamyatam. Each shloka has four lines. வேதஹ நித்யம் அதீயதாம், வேதோ நித்யம் அதீயதாம், வேதஹ நித்யம் அதீயதாம். திஸ் இஸ் த ஃபர்ஸ்ட் டிசிப்ளின் கரஸ்பாண்டிங் டு தி பிரம்மச்சரிய ஆசிரமா டிசிப்ளின், இன் விச் ஒன் ஸ்டடீஸ் த ஸ்கிரிப்சர்ஸ் அண்ட் லேர்ன்ஸ் த ஸ்கீம் ஆஃப் லைஃப் பிரசன்டட் இன் தெம் ஆஸ் கிவன் இன் த வேதாஸ். வேதஹ, வேதஹ மீன்ஸ் த ஸ்கிரிப்சர்ஸ். நித்யம், நித்யம் மீன்ஸ் ரெகுலர்லி. அதீயதாம், ஷுட் பி ஸ்டடீட் பை யூ. You should study the scriptures regularly. Scriptures must be regularly studied by you. It is like keeping a guide map and referring on and off to make sure we are in the right direction. For example, if you learn about the Vedic scheme at the 80th year, what can be done? Nothing can be done. So regularly Veda should be studied by you. In the Brahmacharya Ashrama, the first study takes place. And that is retained in the other ashramas also for Parayanam. Otherwise, it will be all forgotten. So whatever is learnt in the Brahmacharya ashrama should be remembered in the other ashramas by Parayanam, by repetition. So first Parayanam is to study, and the later Parayanam is for not forgetting what is studied. And Shankaracharya does not give the details here, but we should see some of them. In the Brahmacharya ashrama, first they learn to chant the Vedas, and then they analyze the meaning of the Vedas. So first one is called Adhyayanam, and the second one is called Mimamsa. These are all Vedantic terms, Mimamsa. And to understand the meaning of the Vedas, one has to know certain auxiliary sciences also, known as Veda Angas, Veda Angani, which comes actually in the Mundaka Upanishad. So Siksha, Kalpo, Vyakaranam, சந்தோ ஜோதிஷம் இதி, திஸ் ஆர் தி வேத அங்காஸ். இஃப் யூ வாண்ட் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் ஃபார் எக்ஸாம்பிள் ஃபிசிக்ஸ், ஒன் ஷுட் ஆல்சோ பி வெல் வர்ஸ்ட் இன் மேத்தமேட்டிக்ஸ். ஒன் கேன் நெவர் திங்க் ஆஃப் ஹையர் ஃபிசிக்ஸ் வித்வுட் நோயிங் மேத்தமேட்டிக்ஸ். ஸோ மேத்தமேட்டிக்ஸ் பிகம்ஸ் அன் அங்கா, அன் ஆர்கன் ஆஃப் ஃபிசிக்ஸ். த சேம் வே தி மெயின் வேதம் இஸ் அங்கி, அண்ட் ஆல் அதர்ஸ் விச் வி ஜஸ்ட் நோ மென்ஷன், தி சிக்ஷா அண்ட் கல்பா அண்ட் ஆல், தே ஆர் ஆல் அங்காஸ், ஆர்கன்ஸ். So in the Brahmacharya Ashrama, the student learns the Veda, Veda Angas also. So there are three jobs. What are the three jobs for him? Learn Veda, know Veda Angas, and then do Mimamsa in Brahmacharya Ashrama. And it is not a mere technical awareness. He will know what he should do when he comes out. He becomes a decent cultured person, a Samskrita Purushaha. He was a Prakrita Purushaha when he entered into the Gurukulam. He was like a natural person, but when he came out, he came as a Samskrita Purushaha with a clean goal in life and how to conduct himself in society. Nowadays, the problem is what? Students might study economics or mathematics or chemistry, whatever it is, but how to conduct themselves in the family, how to treat the wife even, how to bring up children, even those things are not known. Even if one is a great mathematician, Swamiji says this very jocularly, who can solve any quadratic equation, he finds it very difficult to solve the practical equation with just only two variables, namely the wife and the mother. Always there is a fight. And I am the only son, then the person thinks whether wife is before mother or mother is before wife, always how to prioritize. He has this problem. So when life presents challenges, that is not discussed in physics or other chemistry. Actually, there is a Swamiji again says, there is a chemist who says, did you not see the water coming from the wife's eyes? Somebody asked him. The wife is crying. Are you not seeing the water from her eyes? And he said, yes, I know it very well. It is only sodium chloride and water. Water with some salt. He does not know that it means something else. When the wife cries, he doesn't even know it means something else. Tears represent some other problem. How to deal with that, this bookworm doesn't know. So in this Brahmacharya Ashrama, he learns other sciences also for his profession. For example, a Kshatriya will learn archery. A Vaishya will learn Arthashastra. So all those things are also learned by this person in the Brahmacharya Ashrama. But all of them uniformly study the art of living and conducting a life in addition to the specific profession. Okay. And this is the first stage of life that is being concisely put by Shankaracharya when he said, Vedo Nityam Adhiyatam. So that particular usage gives all this, implies all these meanings. Then Shankaracharya comes to the second stage, namely the Grahastha Ashrama, wherein he has to start and implementing the scheme, that the design that is learnt in the Brahmacharya Ashrama. And what is the first stage of implementation? Karma Anushtana, following the karmas prescribed in the Vedas. And as we said earlier, the 10 Samanya Dharmas, the common disciplines, the universal disciplines, they have to be implemented by all people. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, by everybody. The 5 don'ts and the 5 do's. That is what we mentioned earlier. And what are those? Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Brahmacharyam, Aparigraha, all should follow. And similarly, Saucham, Santosha, Tapas, Swadhyaya, Ishwara Pranidhanam, these also should be followed by all. They are called Samanya Dharmas. And in addition to these universal values, one has to follow the Vishesha Dharma also, the specific duties, which is called Swadharma, which varies from each of the Varnas. And this Vishesha Dharma or Varna Ashrama Dharma or Swadharma also should be implemented by the Grahastha. And this karma or these Vedic duties, they can be broadly classified again into 3 for our convenience at present. One is called Nishkama Karma, another is called Sakama Karma, and the third one is called Nishiddha Karma. So Nishkama Karmas are those compulsory actions or rites which do not depend on your likes and dislikes. You may like it, you may not like it, doesn't matter, but you shall do it. They have to be done by the person. They are in the form of injunctions or commandments. For example, if you like it, fine, great. If you do it, if you like it, you do it, no problem with liking. If you don't like it, still do it. That is no choice. For example, if the patient likes, some people like, they like ghee and goes to an Ayurvedic doctor. And you should not go to an allopathic doctor if you like ghee. Go to an Ayurvedic doctor. Because if you go to an allopathic doctor, he will say ghee is all cholesterol, so you should not take all of them. But if you go to an Ayurvedic doctor who prescribes ghee, gritham, Ayurvai gritham, that's what the Vedas say. So when the doctor himself says take ghee, I also like ghee, so I take also, no problem. But suppose the doctor gives a bitter medicine, all the, you know, the patyams and all, there are so many disciplines in Ayurveda. I dislike them, but still I have to take it. Similarly, for our spiritual health and growth, the Vedic doctor, Vaidyanatha, the Lord has prescribed the medicine called Nishkama Karma. Is called Nishkarma Karma, whether it is bitter or not, you have to follow. That is why it is called Nishkama, not based on your desire. No kama, no desire. If it is not based on your desire, it is based on what then? The Vedic commandment. And they are meant for spiritual growth, chitta shuddhi, refinement of the mind. And for the development of the adhyatma samskaras, that's what the actual need for doing this Nishkama Karma. And the second type of karma is called Sakama Karma, which is based on our own likes and dislikes, which means what? They are not compulsory. They are optional. If you would like to do those, fine, you do it. If you don't like to do them, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do that also. They are all karmas meant for material well-being only, not for spiritual growth. Nishkama karmas are meant for spiritual well-being and sakama karmas are meant for material well-being. Artha kama siddhyartham. And the third one is called Nishiddha Karma. Those karmas which are banned, which should not be followed at any time by anybody, prohibited. They should be all renounced. Like for example, harming others, telling lies, eating meat, drinking liquor. All these things are considered Nishiddha Karma. That they will come under all these bad karma. So, because they are all positive obstacles for spiritual growth, that is the reason they are Nishiddha Karma. Because if a person is drunk, then mind is not going to be steady for him, it is going to be not in his control, then spiritual sadhana becomes impossible. So, these are the types of karmas, Shankaracharya says. And first, may you do the Nishkama Karma regularly and properly. May you perform the compulsory duties without fail. So he says, Taduditam Karmat Swanushtiyatam. తదుదితం మీన్స్ వాట్ వేద ఉదితం అండ్ కర్మ మీన్స్ కర్మ హియర్ మీన్స్ నిష్కామ కర్మ నిష్కామ కర్మ ఆర్ స్వధర్మ విహిత కర్మ నియత కర్మ ఆల్ ఆర్ సేమ్ ఓన్లీ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ కంపల్సరీ కర్మాస్ చాయిస్ లెస్ డ్యూటీస్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు డూ దట్ సో తదుదితం తదుదితం మీన్స్ విహితం కర్మ తు అనుష్ఠీయతాం మే యూ ఫాలో ప్రాపర్లీ నాట్ హాఫ్ హార్టెడ్లీ బట్ హోల్ హార్టెడ్లీ వన్ షుడ్ ఫాలో విత్ ఫుల్ అటెన్షన్ మే యూ డూ దాట్ నౌ ద క్వశ్చన్ విల్ బి వాట్ ఆర్ ది కంపల్సరీ డ్యూటీస్ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్ బై ది వేదాస్ దెన్ ఇట్ సేస్ ఫాలో ఆల్ ది కంపల్సరీ డ్యూటీస్ వాట్ ఆర్ దోస్ డ్యూటీస్ వాట్ ఈస్ స్వధర్మ త్రూ అవుట్ ద గీత ది లార్డ్ కృష్ణ సేస్ హీ యూసెస్ ద వర్డ్ స్వధర్మ స్వధర్మే నిధనం శ్రేయ ఆల్వేస్ హీ సేస్ అండ్ మై ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఇస్ వాట్ ఐ డోంట్ నో వాట్ ఈస్ స్వధర్మ ఎవరిబడి కాల్స్ అబౌట్ స్వధర్మ బట్ ఐ డోంట్ నో వాట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అండ్ కృష్ణ డస్ నాట్ సీమ్ టు సే దాట్ ఎనీవేర్ ఆల్సో సో ఇఫ్ యూ లుక్ అట్ ద వేదాస్ ది స్వధర్మ ఈస్ డిటర్మిన్డ్ బై వన్స్ వర్ణ అండ్ వన్స్ ఆశ్రమ ఎ బ్రాహ్మణ స్వధర్మ ఈస్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎ క్షత్రియ స్వధర్మ విచ్ ఇస్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ దట్ ఆఫ్ అ వైశ్య అండ్ దట్ ఆఫ్ అ శూద్ర అండ్ ఇన్ ఎ బ్రాహ్మణ హింసెల్ఫ్ ఎ బ్రహ్మచారి స్వధర్మ ఈస్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ దట్ ఆఫ్ అ గ్రహస్థ అండ్ దట్ ఆఫ్ అ వానప్రస్థ అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ ఎంటర్ ఇన్ టు దాట్ వీఆర్ గెటింగ్ టు ఎ వెరీ కాంప్లికేటెడ్ వెరీ ఇన్వాల్వ్డ్ రిచువలిస్టిక్ పోర్షన్ Vedas, everything is also so intricate. So starts from Agnihotram, then Upasanam, all these things, these are all karmas he starts. For many of today's Brahmanas, even Sandhyavandanam is a big problem. Where is Agnihotram and Upasanam and all? So the Vedic Swadharma is based on Varna and Ashrama, and unfortunately, now both are not very much alive in today's life. So the Swadharma has to be interpreted according to the present day needs. So if you want to interpret based on what is given in the scriptures, that is very complicated to follow. So it is now interpreted in a way which can be easily followed by people, which should be practicable for all the people regardless of one's varna. Otherwise, I cannot take a general class like this where we can say I have to take one class for the Brahmana students, one class for the Kshatriya students, one for Vaishya students. Very difficult. Because the Swadharma for each one of them is different. There is no question of uniform teaching for all of them with respect to their Swadharma if we have to interpret it in that manner. So if you have to give a general, common, practical Swadharma, what should we do? That is our question. For that also, we have got a Vedic teaching that is called the Pancha Maha Yajnas. I touched upon this when we talked about the Samskaras, which concluded last webinar. So I talked about Pancha Maha Yajnas at that time, which can be taken as the Swadharma of all people, which is prescribed by the Vedas themselves. And what are the Pancha Maha Yajnas for those people who have not attended that webinar? I have just to go over them, refresh them quickly. They are called Deva Yajna, Pitru Yajna, Brahma Yajna, Manushya Yajna, and Bhuta Yajna. And these five Yajnas are compulsory. And every human being should spend some time for these five yajnas in this entire life. So even the busiest human being should find time for these five yajnas if he is interested in spiritual growth and the accomplishment of the goal of life, the ultimate goal of life. And what is each one that we will briefly outline here? Deva yajna is worship of the Lord, of the gods. One has to necessarily spend time, some time in the worship of the Lord, whatever may be the mode of worship. A Brahmana who is a traditional Brahmana, orthodox person, who is initiated into maybe the Panchayatana Puja, he may do all that thing every day, no problem, lot of japas. Another person who may not know all the technicalities of pujas and all, he may spend some time offering some flowers, chanting some shlokas, whatever he knows, and doing namaskara, simply. And another person may not even follow any of them. He is going to a temple and attending the puja, does namaskara and all. In what way one worships, we don't care. But one must worship. That is most important. Why? There is no why. Because it is compulsory. Pancha Maha Yajnas is compulsory. So bitter or good, one must take the medicine. Because it is doctor's prescription for the health. How the medicine will improve my health, what side effects it may have on me, I don't know, because I am not a doctor, but I have the faith in my doctor. We may have doubt, at least, you know, we With a doctor, even we may have some doubts, because as a human being, he perhaps can make some mistakes. But in the case of Vedas, it is given by not by an ordinary doctor, but Vaidishwara, Vaidyanathaha. So, who is Sarvajnaha, the all-knower. And so, if I follow, it is for my good alone. So, it is Deva Yajna. Actually, Swamiji says that there was a statistical study that he read someplace, I don't know where. And for religious people, the occurrence of heart attack was much less than those people who were atheists. Somewhere, maybe there was some statistics, some study. So Swamiji says some. So essentially, because of their faith, a better shock absorber perhaps they are. If I do the puja for getting the benefit, this benefit and that benefit, it will come under what? Then sakama karma. That is not told here. This is purely worship for the sake of worship. Nishkamataya. So, mamo patra samasta dodekshe dwara shri parameshwara prityartham vigneshwara pujam karishye. Only for parameshwara prityartham I am doing this puja. Not for dharma, artha, kama, moksha, chaturvidha, palapushata, siddhartham. Not all those things. So, we should not say all those things, because then they become sakama karma. And the second one is, the second yajna is called pitri yajna. We have to do something for the worship of our ancestors. One of the signs of maturity is what? Is the expression of gratitude. A person without gratitude does not deserve even the name human being. Even when he becomes, if you borrow even a small thing from somebody and return that, what do we normally say? We say thank you. So if simple borrowing something, a simple thing, even if it, you know, if, even for that we say our gratitude. What our forefathers have given us. One may not, you know, that the grandfather has not done anything to me at all. But remember, the grandfather has given what? My father. So, Mata Pitribhyam Vapusho Janakabhyam Muda Mudanvaham. So that is how the scriptures say. Mata Pitribhyam Vapusho Janakabhyam Mudanvaham. Namaskaromi Vijnana Janakabhyam. For all these people, I do namaskaram. Every morning, one has to do namaskaram to the parents, saying some sloka. Mata Pitribhyam Vapushaha Janakabhyam. Who have generated this body. And this physical body is sitting here because of them only. And the father existed, it is because of the grandfather and so on. Therefore, I am indebted to every forefather for my sheer physical presence itself. And that is enough for worshipping them. Whether they gave you education or not giving education, they are all next. As human being, they might have bad virtues also perhaps. They might have had weaknesses. I might have found out various loopholes in their bringing me up. All those are possible. They are all different. But I exist. Therefore, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava. Full stop. No more questions. And for that, the Veda has prescribed the Shraddha, Tarpana, like those kinds of rituals. And different people may express their gratitude in different ways. We don't care how they express, but what is important is we do something as a mark of gratitude. This is called Pitri Yajna. And the third one is the Brahma Yajna, worship of the Vedas or the Rishis, the sages. Brahma means Vedas here, and along with that, the Rishis also, they come. So I have to do something to worship the Rishis, even either in the form of rituals like Rishi Tarpanam, and there is even, you know, Rishi Patni is Tarpayami. So in our Brahma Yajnam, there is a ritual. If the Rishis could spend all their times in writing the scriptures, it is only because they had a very cooperative wife. So Sarva Rishi Patni is Tarpayami. Sarva Rishi Ganapatni is Tarpayami. That's what we say every time when we do Brahma Yajnam. So we are indebted to the Rishis, to the Rishi Patnis, to everybody. So we worship them directly. And we work for the preservation and propagation of the scriptures, which are their work. Therefore, I directly contribute by studying and teaching, or indirectly contribute by supporting, patronizing such institutions, which do the job of preserving and propagation of these scriptures. This is called Brahma Yajna. And there is a ritual called Brahma Yajna also. Everybody, it's a compulsory one. when they do Sandhyavandana Karma after Madhyanikam, one is supposed to do the Brahma Yajnam also. So this is supposed to be a compulsory ritual, Nitya Karma. And the fourth Yajna is called Manushya Yajna. We are indebted to every other human being in society. If you drink coffee in the morning, you have milk. That means someone has a cow, someone has milked it, which has to be taken care of. All those things are there. So if we have a cup, someone has worked for it. We wear a dress, someone has worked for it. So every moment of my existence is because someone has worked for something. And so I am indebted to the entire humanity. So I have to do something purely for the sake of doing. Because I have derived so much from the society, I should definitely do something back to the society. And that is called Manushya Yajna. And one of the best Manushya Yajna is Annadana. That is why in our temples and all, we have this Annadana scheme. Actually, if you go to Salzburg and many other places in our temples, we have every day, this Annadana scheme is there, feeding some, you know, all the time. Whomsoever comes, feed them. In fact, all the social service will come under Manushya Yajna only. People say our culture does not emphasize social service. Some people say that, right? That we have to learn from other religions. We have got social service in the form of Manushya Yajna. Only thing we do not do is what? We do not implement that ourselves, whereas all other, some of the other religions, they implement with a motive. They will do the service and will try to make you part of their religion. That's what they do. Whereas we have that as part of our religion all the time. So that, you know, I become, when I follow their principles, their procedures, then I have to get converted to that thing. Whereas in our discipline, our religion, it is there all the time. But here, you have to do something without expecting back anything from the other person. This is called Manushya Yajna. And finally comes the Buddha Yajna, which is worship of the so-called inferior living beings. Actually, we are using the word so-called inferior because sometimes we get the doubt whether the human beings are inferior or the animal and plant kingdom are inferior, the way we are trying to exploit nature. So generally considered to be inferior, the animals and the plants, so which is coming in the form of environmental protection, ecological systems, green earth. And that also is very much provided in our Vedic scheme of living. So we have to grow every, you know, normally they say you grow one tree per each house, all kinds of things they say. So we have to protect the tree at least. So Ashvatthovam Vriksha Chandana Daruhu. So these are all, you know, all the trees are enumerated as only divine. And Kurvantu Me Mangalam. I pray for the well-being of all these trees, for all those things in nature. This Bhuta Yajna in our culture is practiced before we eat. Before we eat our food, we always, you know, put some food for the crow and all. So whatever we cooked, we offer to them. So it's Bhuta Yajna. Even when they used, you know, the rangolis, they normally use the powder with rice flour so that the ants and the other small insects, they will come in the night and perhaps and they will eat them. So these days, you know, even that we have got plastic columns and all these artificial rangolis, so where ants and other things are going to eat them. So we have forgotten the purpose of this entire culture. So these Panchamaha Yajnas are compulsory for all. Do them all very well. Taduditam su karma anushtiyata. Taduditam karma su anushtiyata. Then what should be the attitude when I do all these things? Tena ishasya apachitihi vidhiyata. Ishaha apachitihi vidhiyata. Apachitihi means puja. Puja or worship. Vidhiyata, offered. May worship be offered to the Lord through your swadharma anushtana. Here tena means swadharma. Swadharma anushtanena. That's what it means. So vihita karma anushtanena. That means what? Offering of worship is not merely offering the flowers in the temple or anything like that. It includes worshipping the forefathers, the rishis, service to human beings and protections of animal and plants, everything. Only when all these are done, the Ishwara Puja becomes complete. Otherwise, it is not complete. On the one hand, one person does the puja. On the other hand, he ill-treats another person. That is the puja. In Bhagavatam, it is said, if a person does elaborate puja in the temple and outside he ill-treats people or he treats them impolitely, then the Lord says, I don't receive the worship at all. The worship is meaningless. So if I have to see the Lord in the temple, I should learn to see the Lord in every human being also. Then only the puja becomes complete. So tena ishasya apachitihi vidiyata. And this alone Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita as what? Swakarmana tam abhyarchya siddhim vindati manavaha. So swakarmana abhyarchanam, worshipping by the performance of one's own duty, swakarmana. This is nishkama karma anushtanam, this kind of worship. Okay, what about sakama karma, action for material wealth? Shankaracharya says, kamye matihi tyajatam. So he says, may you gradually give up the actions meant for artha kama, for material well-being. So kamye means what? Sakama karmani, actions meant for material wealth. Matihi means interest or craving. Tyajyata means give up, gradually. Then the idea is what? Whatever is required, the minimum that you earn. Yallabase nija karmopatam vittam tena vinodaya chittam. Satisfy your mind with whatever you have. And in these days, we cannot say no, because in those days, they do their swadharma, and whatever is given voluntarily by others only, they lived based on that. They never worked for earning anything. Everyone does his duty. For example, a teacher teaches. That is his duty. It is not a contract. For each subject, you know, there is for this credit, so many hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars. I teach because that is my swadharma. And whatever the other person with appreciation voluntarily contributes, I live on that. So the student also was giving voluntarily with appreciation and liking and reverence. And the teacher also was doing his job as a swadharma. Similarly, Kshatriya also, Vaishya also, they were all doing their swadharmas. Earning was not their consideration. Whatever was given voluntarily was taken. And remember, the other people are also giving voluntarily. These days, such things are very, very rare. You know, you cannot even find such people mostly. So it is like the story where, you know, the king wanted everyone to put 1 gallon of milk in a big vessel. And everyone, what they thought? All others are pouring milk. If I put 1 gallon of water, who is going to know about it? So everyone thought similarly, and the entire vessel next day morning was only full of water, no milk at all. So similarly, a teacher does his swadharma and the student does his swadharma of contribution, then it will work. Husband does his swadharma, wife does her swadharma, then the household worked. Raja does his swadharma, the prajas, the subjects, they did their swadharma of paying taxes and all, that worked. But now the society is what? It's in utter confusion. And therefore, duty-based is going away, replaced by payment-based society. Duty-based society is being replaced by payment-based society. And naturally, there is no question of love or respect. The teacher does not love the student. And the student says, I have paid the money. What do you want respect for? All those questions, they all come in today's system. So those days were duty-based days, and therefore kamya karma was never required, because everyone's swadharma became automatically the payment of the other. Because we cannot tell that nowadays, we say kamya karma also is required. You work for earning the wealth. We say all that. But Krishna says, gradually try to reduce the kamya karma. It's very difficult to remove them completely, but at least gradually try to reduce them. Then the next question is what? How to reduce kamya karma? We need, you know, lot of money in today's system. We need money. For which Shankaracharya gives the answer here. Kamya karma increases because of the increase of raga, attachment. The more likes and dislikes are there, the more I should have wealth. As the kama increases, kamya karma also increases. So kama yeshaha, krodha yeshaha, Rajogum guna samudbhavaha. That's what Krishna says. Mahashano mahapapma vidyanamika vairinam. So kamya karmas will be reduced if the kama or the ragadvesha, they get reduced. And what is the method of reducing raga and dvesha? Swadharma anushtanam will reduce raga and dvesha. Because swadharma anushtanam involves what? Ishvara puja. And that involves Ishvara anugraha. And that involves what? Samskara. All are interlinked. And as the mind becomes more and more samskritam, samskritam means more and more refined, the mind will become less and less under the grip of raga and dvesha. So the acharya says, papogaha pariduyata. Ogaha means the group of multitudes or bundles of samuha, sanchaya, the one that's group of all those things. And papa means here raga and dvesha, likes and dislikes. And why are they called papam? Likes and dislikes are called papam. Whatever obstructs spiritual growth is considered papam. So raga dvesha alone, they obstruct spirituality. And so raga dvesha is a papam. That is why Krishna said, you know, vidyenam iha vairinam indriyasya indriyasya te raga dveshau vyavasthitau tayorna vashamagachete avhiyasya paripantinau. That's what he said. Paripanti, vairi, enemy. Krishna calls because raga dvesha becomes the mind, makes the mind extrovert. It never makes the mind introvert. So paranchikanim vitrina swayambhuhu. We saw it in Katopanishad. Tasmat parang pasyati nantaratman. So we have to remember. And the bundle of ragadvesha pariduyatam should be wiped out, cleaned, removed. They should be all neutralized. And how does this happen? Because of swadharma anushtana that can happen. That is Ishvara Puja performed. Ishvara Anugraha is received. And because of Ishvara Anugraha, the mind becomes cleaner and cleaner. And once the mind becomes free from the grip of Raga and Dvesha, then what happens? Bhavasuke Doshaha Anusandhiyata. In fact, it is more an explanation of Papogaha Pariduyata. Paraphrased here actually. What is that? May you see the defects of worldly accomplishments and pleasures. Bhava means world. Bhava, sukham. Sukham means the pleasures, material pleasures. So, samsparsha jaha bhogaha. By coming into contact with all the vishayas. So, whatever pleasures one gets. So, what do you mean by the defect in material pleasures? We talk about actually the threefold defects of material worldly pleasures. We have already seen this earlier, but I will again outline this here. Number one, it is mixed with pain. Dukkha mishritatvam. Because to acquire them, we have to undergo pain. To preserve them, we have to undergo even more pain. And ultimately, if we lose them, we will have the highest pain. So this is called arjanam, rakshanam, and nashaha. Arjana dukkham is little bit, rakshana dukkham is more, and nasha dukkham is much more. And the second defect is of material pressure is what? Atriptikaram. It will never give us satisfaction. The more I have, the more I want to have. Actually, there is a beautiful shloka. Nishvash yekashatam, shati dashashatam, laksham sagasradipaha, lakshesaha shitipalatam, kshitipatihi, chakreshatam vanchati, chakreshaha punarindratam, and surapatihim, brahmaspadam vanchati, brahma vishnupadam, harir harapadam, trishnavadim kogataha. When there was nothing, this person thought if he gets 100 rupees, it will be good. And once he got 100 rupees, he thought 1000 would be nice. Shati dashashatam. And when 1000 came, 1 lakh would have been good. Laksham sahasradipaha. Then laksham came, if I become maybe an MLA or some MP or something, that would have been very nice. That's what he thought. Then I want to be the king. Then the emperor, chakreshaha. And then Unar Indratam, who wants to be this Chakresha, emperor and all, miserable earth. I want to rule the heavens. I want to become Indra. Then will he be happy? No, he is interested in becoming Brahmaji. Then he wants to become Vishnu. Then Vishnu wants to become Shiva. If you are a Shaivite, if you are a Vaishnavite, you can be, Shiva might want to become Vishnu. Either way, no one is satisfied with what they have. Therefore, all material pleasures are atriptikaram, no tripti. And the third defect is bandakam. They make the person a slave of them. He will get addicted to them, like any stimulant or drug. When I take the first sip of wine I choose to take. Therefore, I am the master. Then after drinking for some time, then the drink becomes the master and I become the slave. I can never say no to that. This is not only for drinking. Everything I get used to, I become a slave to that. This is the third defect. And this defect, one never understands in the beginning. But through Swadharma Anushtana, through the refined mind, one is able to discern this defect. That means one becomes a Viveki, a mature person, an evolved person, a thoughtful person. And this should be converted, this should be connected with Kamye. Kamye Matisthyajyata. Naturally, the Kamya karma will become less and less because I am not interested in what? In Bhava Sukham. And Sankaracharya says, it is not enough if we understand this, it has to be constantly remembered also. So, anusandhiyatam, anusandhanam means what? It should be constantly reminded. I will take just a couple of more minutes to complete this particular discussion so that we will complete this first shloka. Then naturally the question will come, if all material pleasures are defective, then is there a defect-free ananda at all? Further, the Veda itself answers, Atmanandaha, Brahmanandaha is an anandam which is free from Dukkha Mishritatvam, Atriptikaratvam and Bandhakatvam. So, Nirdosham hi Samam Brahma, Nirdosha Anandaha is Atma. So, what does he do? He turns his direction from Anatma Sukham, material pleasures, to Atma Sukham. And this is said in the actually fourth line, Atma Iccha Vyavasiyatam. May you cultivate strong desire for Atma, the infinite, ever secure one, the stable one. So turn away from Anityam and turn towards Nityam. To do that, I should first know what is Anityam and what is Nityam. So the first step is Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha. And I should know what can be learned, what can be leaned upon, and what cannot be leaned upon, dependent upon. And then I turn away from Anityam, which is called Vairagyam, this passion, and turn towards Nityam, which is called Mumukshutvam. So all the Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti, which we discussed in the Tattvabodha lectures, please refer to that. They are all being brought out in this particular line. So Viveka, Vairagyam and Mumukshutvam, all these three are implied in these two lines. So Papaugaha, Pariduyatam, that indicates Viveka. And Bhavasuke, Doshonusandhiyatam, that indicates Vairagyam. And Atma Iccha, Vyavasiyatam, that indicates Tivra Iccha or Mumukshutvam. And once these three qualifications are acquired, then Grahasthashrama has done its job. We are now talking all this in the Grahasthashrama. So he has successfully gone through the second stage of life. So first stage is Brahmacharya Ashrama, Veda Adhyayanam, learning the scheme of life. And second stage is Grahastha Ashrama, Swadharma Anushtana or Karma Yoga. Benefits are Chitta Shuddhi, Viveka, Vairagyam, Mumukshutvam. All this he has gained. Now one comes to the third stage that Shankaracharya indicates here as Nijagrahate Thurnam Vinirgamyatam. Literally translated, it may be very scary. From one's own house, Nijagrahate, one's own house, may you get out. Thurnam. Not with everyone. When? Immediately, instantaneously, Thurnam, Shigram, get out. Which indicates Vanaprastha Ashrama. So what is the idea conveyed here? That is, the karma should be reduced. That means karma has not much role to play anymore. And so the proportion of karma is reduced and in that place, you replace that with Upasana or meditation. Because until now in Grihastha Ashrama, because of too many responsibilities, duties and all, the mind had become highly extrovert. All the time doing this job or that job, going from here and there, even for Swadharma Anushtana, it had to be extrovert. And extrovert mind cannot suddenly come to Vedanta. Very difficult. So even if that mind is dragged into an ashrama, that will also look for some kind of diversion. At least call some people, phone some people, talk to them. Because I am restless unless I keep doing something. And if I don't do anything, I should at least keep talking blah, blah to some people or the other. That's what this person does. There is a tremendous pressure on the mind. Such a mind can never gain Atma, Anatma, Viveka. It is still coffee tea viveka only, not atma and atma viveka. And so in grahastha ashrama, karma is more, upasana is less. In vanaprastha ashrama, upasana is more and karma is less. The proportion is reversed. This a person does either by physically getting out of the house or as a compromise, a person can remain at home without much involvement, delegating all the responsibility to the next generation. Let them learn, let them make mistakes, and let them grow independently. That attitude should come. In extremely needy situations, if they ask, most important, I give the advice. Otherwise, I withdraw. This withdrawal, this reduction of karma, this pursuit of upasana is the job of the vanaprastha ashrama, which corresponds to the upasana kanda of the Vedas. And more about this, Shankaracharya himself is going to explain in the next shloka. Here, this is the introduction for that. Nijagrahat turnam minirgamyatha. May you enter into vanaprastha ashrama physically or figuratively, whichever you choose to. And we will see more details in the next shloka, which we will see in the next webinar. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwaraha. Shri Krishna arpanamastu.